Hello, this is going to be part two of the encore episode for the movie Oppenheimer, where Masako and I talk about the movie when it first came out last year in July 2023. So if you haven't listened to the part one, go back to the previous episode and maybe listen to that one first. Otherwise, it may or may not make a lot of sense. I hope you enjoy the episode. Yeah, I don't even have to write the ethical, do you guys have to do something, right, for the human subjects?
Mm-hmm. IRB. IRB.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't have to ever do that. I don't have to worry if my molecules are getting hurt while I'm doing experiments. It's not like there are other sort of ethical questions.
So what would you submit when you start a new project? I mean, I have no idea.
No, just a proposal.
Just a proposal?
Just a proposal saying give me money and they do or they don't.
Money means like a research funding, that's all?
Yeah, like from the grants. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you don't need to get any kinds of permission to do your experiment?
I mean, other than like a basic safety training, no.
Oh. Interesting. I had no idea.
It doesn't matter how much sample I use, doesn't matter how much, like, how wasteful I am with the sample, it's just my fault, you know?
So the basic safety training means it's just really basic stuff, so it doesn't...
I mean, yeah, like chemical handling, like, you know, mix acid with organics, okay. This is what you're supposed to do when there's a chemical spill, uh-huh. things like that. And I don't actually have to do any sort of, there's no special like permission I need to request for conducting my experiments on top of my proposal.
So for example, if your experiment has a small, like a risk, that
risk to who?
To
me?
To you or other people in the building or something like that.
I mean, if it's again, like if it's a radioactive substances, mm-hmm. for instance, right?
Yeah.
Then I need to be certified to be able to handle radioactive things. Mm-hmm. But it's not like I'm asking some other third party entity to let me handle the radioactive material. Mm-hmm. I just need to pass the school's radioactive material handling mm-hmm. test, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Mm.
And I presumably have done that already before the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, so, like very, very little ethical sort of concerns in my line of research. Right. And I mean, you have a little bit more than I do, but you also don't worry about, you know, whether you're finding, like whether what you're going to discover in this research is going to start or end the war.
No,
right.
No. However, it takes a very, very long time to get approval, even a slight change, modification to this information sheet. It takes 2 months, probably.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah, it's been it's kind of insane.
But maybe I don't know, like maybe that's not for entirely unreasonable reason, right? Like maybe that is actually important because, especially because you're dealing with human subject and like
sometimes it's just a bit too much. For example, like, if there are typos, we have to submit for amendment.
Typos. Right.
It's just sometimes it's just too much.
I can imagine that it's like logistically annoying, but if you're experimenting with human beings or with any living things for that matter, I feel like you don't think that your experiment, which I know because I've done, is pretty chill. You know, I don't think it's traumatic in any way. But like, you know, like there's a potential, right? Yeah. Always that they might become triggered. And like, you know, when that happens, you want to make sure to be able to say that like, hey, you know, we did pass these, all these protocols. Right. And you can't blame us, right? So yeah, like in that sense, like you have a bit more ethical responsibility than I do in my research. But like, think about Oppenheimer. Like, he was just supposedly purely interested in, you know, the nuclear physics, like what's going to happen in atoms under extreme conditions. And for all we know, that's all he was interested, right? I don't think he was trying to start or end the war. Like, he was just trying to do his science things. It's just that he felt like this technology, when the Germans were starting to get ahead of this nuclear fission capabilities, he was like, oh, this could destroy like the whole country. And when he realized that, he felt like we need to know more about this technology, like before they get to do it, we need to get ahead of them, right? And that sort of psychological sort of reasoning is very understandable. And
so does the movie the movie describe what happened to him after the war, after the bombs were dropped?
I would say that they spend about a little bit less than a third of the movie, the last little bit less than a third of the movie, sort of showing how much he struggles with the consequences of his work. He, first of all, it was a lot more powerful than he had ever had an intention of. And they basically were not aware of any of the long-term effects that people will suffer from. You know, because the sort of the Trinity test, the test they did at Los Alamos, they did it in the middle of nowhere, you know, made sure everyone is outside of the blast radius and everything. But yeah, like they simply couldn't estimate what would be the long-term effect and of the radiation. And like, they do sort of show him struggling with like, oh, like what have we done by making this technology available? And I think he really does struggle with it afterwards. Yeah, and like, I don't want to, you know, say too much because it's nit about it, right? But like, I was like the choices that they made about how to portray the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is that was also like, like, that's how you want to do it. The concept that I was like, I want to talk about this with other like American friends who supposedly have got history education from American system, and how they think about how this was portrayed. Like, you know, in terms of like biopic, it was solid. I feel like they could have done something a little bit differently about how they decided to go about portraying the bombing itself. But so yeah, it's like you know, it's such a, like, for like, I feel like Oppenheimer, like the movie, and from the sort, like a few like articles I've read, Oppenheimer seemed like he was obviously talented and, you know, brilliant on his own, but I also don't think he was like Niels Bohr or Einstein of his era, right? Like, I think he would have been a pretty normal, solid professor who was like, you know, like doing his thing, which is most of the academics, right? Mm. Like none of, like most of us don't win Nobel Prize. Mm. And, you know, yet you continue to do interesting research. So I felt like he would have been that kind of regular professor if it wasn't for his particular interest in quantum physics and him being in a right place. Like he becomes friends with, Ernest Lawrence, mm-hmm. who, is the first person to, you know, who invented the cyclotron. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, the whole facility to accelerate mm-hmm. particles, right? So like mm-hmm. with people like that around, he was able to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, if it wasn't for the wartime, if mm-hmm. it wasn't for the environment that he was in, I feel like he would have done a lot more interesting scientific contribution mm. other than this. Like, mm. this just was like a huge part of his life and it sucked the soul out of him.
Yeah.
And
I think so.
He was already like kind of unstable.
Mm.
Like, he was already like, you know, like difficult in like mm. a regular academic way,
mm.
like a little bit up in his mind kind of thing.
Mm.
But, like, I think, yeah, after this, he was just, like, such a mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably could have had other things he could have done if it was in a peaceful time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that did make me think. I was just like, like, it always, like, you know, it makes for a good movie, but, oh, my God, what a terrible thing to be actually experiencing through. Yeah. Thought a similar thing about Marie Curie as well. Mm-hmm. When I read her biography written by her daughter,
mm-hmm.
it was a lot of, you know, there's, in her case, it's World War One,
mm-hmm.
but there was a war involved mm-hmm. and she like really worked so hard at this, radium thing mm-hmm. and, it did a lot of incredible record-breaking things,
mm.
but also her life, was such a, you know, messy
mm.
part, and she doesn't seem really happy ever in her entire lifetime. She's like working all the time.
Mm.
And, so like, yeah, it like made me think about, you know, what it is, like the sort of dilemma of being brilliant and being like born in a different time.
Right,
that's all. I don't know. I realize that we've been talking about it for like 20 minutes. 20 so I feel minutes. Like we okay. should wrap it up. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. That's it for the show today. Thanks for listening and find us at Eigode Science on Twitter. That is EIGODESCIENCE. See you next time.